All across the third century, the Roman economy was spiraling deeper and deeper and deeper into inflation. Prices were rising dramatically. Wages were falling dramatically. The prosperity of the Pax Romana was gone. The tremendous wealth of the Pax Romana was eluding people's grasp now. In the fourth place, then, and certainly very closely related to the three points I've just made, the third century evinces everywhere a lack of confidence, a sense of gloom, a sense of dread. We see this in literature. We see this in the simple prayers that were attached to the walls of temples. We see this in people's wills. We see it in a variety of different kinds of sources, in other words. The buoyant optimism, the great confidence that marked the period of the Pax Romana seems almost to have vanished. We notice other things, too. I emphasized, for example, that as the Romans spread through the Mediterranean world, one of the things they did is build these grand urban amenities, these glorious public buildings that are, in many ways, Rome's great legacy. That public building almost stops. There just isn't the money, but also there isn't the confidence to sustain that kind of activity. Now, things might have gone very badly indeed. Again, if we play our game of time travel and we went back to a certain point near the end of the third century and we stopped the clock and we said, all right, predict what's going to happen next, you'd have said, well, this Roman world is in big trouble. And that would have been the intelligent conclusion to draw. And as so often, it would have been wrong. Because Rome produced, in succession, two quite remarkable rulers, Diocletian and Constantine. Between them, they ruled for something like 50 years. They addressed with prudent reforms many of the problems, many of the key issues of the third century crisis, and they put the Roman Empire on sound footings. But also, as we'll see, they changed the empire fundamentally. So this brings up one of the interesting dimensions of this process of change, this process of transformation that I've been talking about. The Roman Empire managed its own transformation. Not utterly, not always, not everywhere, but fundamentally we can say the Roman Empire managed its own transformation. The reformers, then. Diocletian, first of all. Diocletian reigned from 284 to 305, a much longer reign than those who had preceded him in the third century when very short reigns were the norm. He came from a poor Dalmatian family, and he rose up through the military establishment. Diocletian himself was a clever man. He was a decisive man. He was an uncommonly good judge of character and an uncommonly astute judge of the problems faced by his world and of what kinds of things he might do to address those problems. In 293, as one of his first great reforms, he introduced the Tetrarchy, rule by four, Tetrarchos, rule by four. The Roman world was simply so big, so large, communications were so slow. Remember, there's no email, there's no fax, there's no telephone. Messages take weeks, maybe months to travel around. We have these threatened frontiers, as I just mentioned. We've had a severe problem in the third century with orderly succession to the imperial office. So what Diocletian did is choose a colleague. He and his colleague were to be called Augustus. Now, this is not a name any longer, it's a title. And each colleague is to choose a subordinate official called a Caesar. The Caesar is to succeed to the Augustus. So now we have four people in the Roman world with imperial power, the ability to raise armies, the ability to make decisive decisions on issues. Okay, we have also then created the possibility for stable succession. Augustus dies, Augustus retires, Caesar succeeds to Augustus, chooses a new Caesar. So, by providing more rulers with authority in the huge and challenged Roman world, and by trying to provide for orderly succession, we can see that Diocletian addressed, in the first place, then, one of the key problems of the third century crisis. Now, over the course of his reign, Diocletian addressed himself to another dimension of the Roman world. He reorganized the provincial administration. He more than doubled the number of provinces. The provinces had not been significantly changed in terms of their administrative structure since the time of Augustus. And Rome had a relatively small number of relatively large provinces. Diocletian basically doubled the number of provinces in the empire, largely by carving large provinces into smaller ones. He wasn't conquering new territory. He then dramatically increased the size of the imperial administration. From a few hundred men, And we have to imagine this vast Roman Empire being managed by a few hundred men. He created an imperial administration of about 30 or 40,000.